Let's turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verse 16. I want to talk to you about a little bit about what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 3:16. It's something that I heard growing up back in the South. And I didn't know Jesus was a Southerner, but apparently he is, so. Luke 3:16. It said, Jesus said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than me will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, or Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I know that sounds like an old school term, an old timey term, a term that is outdated, and some pastors are getting away from the hardcore words like fire or hell or repentance or sin, or they use those words back in the old days, they say, for scare tactics. And you know what? Hey, hell is scary, right? Yeah. I don't want to go there. There is an alternative. There is a better way. And that way is Jesus. And some churches today don't want to use those catchphrases. But Jesus is using that here. He said, but there's one that will come after me that is more powerful than me. And let me just stop right there. That's a profound statement by the Son of God. That there is one to come after me that is more powerful than I. He will not baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, in the Word, there is a lot of descriptions for the Holy Spirit, and one of them is fire. I like that the best, because fire does this. It purifies things. It illuminates the darkness. Amen? It chases the darkness away so that we can see where we're going in life. Jesus said that I have got to go away because there's one that's more powerful than me that will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, if you light a match and you set a piece of wood on fire, the fire will penetrate the wood, right? It's what the Holy Spirit does to our lives. He goes beyond the surface appearance of things, and he gets down to the very root and core of our being. Amen? So when you come into church, you should not only be challenged mentally, but you should also be challenged in the very core of who you are, because that's good, sound, biblical teaching. Amen? That when you come into the church, it's not about a religious experience and not about following a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not about listening to a sermon that has been pre-typed out, which mine is. All right? It's about allowing yourselves to be open to the move of the Spirit in your life. Amen? We all have got stuff in our life. How many of you guys have stuff in your life? Sometimes we need to expose that stuff to the Holy Spirit and fire. Because one day we will stand before the throne of God, and there will be a judgment on our lives and what we have done with this one life that we have been given. And the Bible says that everything will be burnt up in our lives that wasn't established by Jesus himself. And a lot of us will be surprised how much stuff, or lack of stuff, will remain in our life when that fire snuffs out what wasn't originated by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that as believers, the number one thing that we have to do is to expose our lives daily to the working and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to become more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen? Amen. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own understanding. It's not our own stubbornness and our own willpower that causes us to be a success in Christ. We have nothing to do with the success. Amen? It is Him, His Holy Spirit, empowering us to overcome so that we can't take the glory. How many of you guys know that humans are glory hounds? All of us are glory hounds. I don't care what you say. When you know, we bring that false humility around and we say, oh, you know, no glory to me, all to Jesus. But really, we're doing this. We're going, all glory to Jesus, all glory to Jesus. But we're headed in here. We're headed in home right here. But Jesus brought the Holy Spirit to our lives so that we could not take credit for anything that happens in our lives, for any victory, for any glory, for any defeat that we overcome the enemy with. Because Jesus said this, he said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. And you see, the Holy Spirit didn't come to the earth to propagate his own agenda. The Holy Spirit came so that he would testify as to what he has seen and as to what he has heard from the Father. And not only that, but to empower you to do the work of the ministry so that you can overcome in your life. How many of you guys want to overcome in your life? How many of you guys are sick and tired of being overcome and you want to overcome the enemy in your life? Well, you cannot do that without the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is the most neglected Godhead in the Trinity. Because we think, I got this, I can do this, I'm stubborn enough, I can work hard enough, I can be enough for my family, I can strive enough, I can work hard enough, I can earn it. No, you cannot. And the moment you come to that realization that you cannot work hard enough, that you're not smart enough, that you're not good enough, the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. So we're dead in the water at the word go. That's why it's important that we open our lives and open our heart and our spirit to the very fiber of who we are so that the Holy Spirit can come in and get the glory. Amen? And so when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in fire terms, he is talking about a consuming fire. The Bible says, my God is a consuming fire. You know, I was... My youngest, Joshua, he came into my office and he was asking what I was doing. And I have a little ritual in the Sunday mornings. I come in and highlight all the stuff and I get my message just right on my brain. I like to do things as far as that's concerned, not last minute, but right up to the point of me preaching, because I like to have it fresh on my head and my brain and my spirit. And he was reading some of the highlighted stuff that I had, and he was reading about the refiner's fire. And I was beginning to explain to him what that means. And gold, when put into the refiner's fire, all the rocks and all the dirt and all the impurities and minerals float up to the top that's not gold. So when the gold looks like it's being destroyed in the fire, if fire is violent, right? It consumes, it burns, it's intense. Everything about a fire, it's not any Mickey Mouse stuff. Fire is intense. And you have to be careful around the fire. And when the refiner sees that the stuff, all the impurities are coming up to the top, he takes his tool and he skims the top of it. And he brings all the impurities out. And what remains is pure, solid gold through and through. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing in our lives as well. The refiner's fire. Sometimes we feel like that we're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has been thrown into this furnace that is so intense that the guards that threw them in perished because it was so hot. The heat was so intense. But you know, the only way that God can bring out the hurt and the pain and the scars of your life. Some of you your upbringing has been the worst of worst. Some of you, your upbringing has been the best of the best. But just because you've had the best of the best doesn't mean that you're pure. Amen?
Amen?
Just because you've had the best that life has to offer doesn't make you right. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin is what the refiner's talking about when the impurities come up to the top and the refiner sweeps it off the top, and then the end result is pure gold. And when you expose yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and His fire in your life, when you go through troubles, when you go through temptations, when you go through the heat and the struggles of life, the Holy Spirit is there to bring you through that. He is the refiner that skims those impurities off the top, and what remains is pure gold in your life. And you can't take the credit for it. Because if you did, then it couldn't glorify Jesus. You couldn't magnify Him in your life. That's why I'm saying that by nature we're selfish. By nature we're sinful. By nature we're wretched. Now, we don't want to look at ourselves like that, but it's the truth. Sin is ugly. It's a detriment to our salvation. It's something that will destroy our lives if left unchecked. Amen? And so, I talked to you a little bit about the old school way of preaching and the fire and the brimstone and all those different things. And you know, preaching that is not anointed by the Holy Spirit, or that is anointed of the Holy Spirit, is fiery preaching. It's preaching that gets to the very soul of who you are. I don't want you to just come out of this place more intellectually sharp than you were before you came in. If you want that, go to college. Right? If you want that, further your education. But when you come into the house of the Lord and you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as you yield yourselves by raising your hands during praise and worship, as you sit and listen and take notes and open up the Word and read along with me and listen with your ears and hearts, say to yourself, Holy Spirit, whatever is in me, I receive your word today so that it will purify my life like the refiner's fire. And when you do that, you will be walking in victory and not even know it. Those dirty parts of your life, those parts of your life that you thought were never ever going to be put back together again. How many of you guys have ever done one of those jigsaw puzzles that had like 10,000 pieces? You start with the one in the middle, you think, and you're going, what is this blue/red/white/... How's this ever going to come to be? And some of us, our lives are that way. We don't know heads or tails. We can't decipher what piece that we should put in the middle, or where the corner pieces are. Or our lives are so scattered that we can't find the end from the beginning. But I can point you to the person that does. And if we allow the Holy Spirit's working and His fire in our life, He will begin to illuminate those things in our life. He'll begin to call those things and pinpoint those things in our life, those sinful things in our life, those things that we fall short in, those hurts and those things in our life that we thought would never be able to be put back together again. He'll pinpoint those things, and he'll pinpoint sin in your life not to humiliate you, but to establish you in all of your ways. You see, it's important that you are obedient to the Holy Spirit, because when you're pricked by the Lord, when you feel conviction, it's not condemnation you're feeling. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's pinpointing things in your life that says, let me refine that. Let me draw that out. If you'll give that over, if you'll surrender, I will come in and make all things new. Amen? I'm talking about a fire that transforms here this morning. Remember the day after the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and preached the first sermon full of the Holy Spirit and power? After Peter was finished, the people said, they were pricked to the heart, and they said, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Teaching aids they're good and they're fine. They're useful. But without the Spirit's fire, hearts will never be humbled and broken before the Lord. Amen? I can give you the most eloquent sermon you've ever heard in your entire life. But unless it is backed by the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will do nothing but challenge you mentally and not spiritually. Amen? I never want to be guilty of that. When I come before you, I'm prayed up. I come before the Lord all week long asking the Lord, Lord, put this sermon together. Teach me what you want me to say. And then revelate it into ways that the people can understand. And without the Holy Spirit, all I'm doing is lecturing you. Amen? Hey, I've heard a ton of lectures in my day. I've heard thousands of sermons in my day. But I don't want to just deliver you a sermon. I want to deliver something to you that is anointed of the Lord, that is powerful and mighty to save, that will help deliver you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the only way that that can be done is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, God says, God asks, "Is not my word like fire? The word preached with a spirit, with the Spirit's fire, cuts through the clutter and deals with the troubled condition of our hearts." The Spirit's fire always cuts to the chase and deals with the hindrances that keep us from blessing the Lord. Amen? In other words, the Holy Spirit does this. He cuts through our Mickey Mouse stuff. We, you know, sometimes we'll come before the Lord and we'll say, "Lord, I'm struggling in this area," or "Lord, I'm a little weak in this area." No, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he cuts through all of that and he goes down to the very heart of who we are. And he said, "No, you're not just dealing with something. You've got sin in your life. You're proud and you're arrogant." And you see, that's not condemnation. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation does this. It tears you down and keeps you in bondage. It keeps you in a low place and provides no way out of that low place. That's what condemnation does. Some of you in this room operate under condemnation. Some of you maybe in this room control your family by condemnation. You keep them in a low place, or the devil keeps you in a low place, and they provide no way out for you. That's condemnation. There's no life and there's no vitality in condemnation. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you and He brings conviction, conviction pinpoints and shows you the better way. Amen? Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me." So Jesus provided the way out. The Holy Spirit is only directing the way out. He's saying, "Look to Jesus because you've got sin in your life. Look to Jesus because you're arrogant. Look to Jesus because you've got unchecked sin in your life." That's what the Holy Spirit does. And then when we say, admit that we have sin in our life, then the Holy Spirit comes in with His strength and power to cause you to be an overcomer through Christ. Amen? All ways, all roads lead to Jesus. All roads lead to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been sent to this earth to empower you and to direct you to Jesus. Period. Amen? I love speaking in tongues just like the rest of you. But the Apostle Paul said it's not the greatest thing. He said, "I speak in tongues more than you all, but it's not the greatest thing." I love it. I encourage it. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, see me. I want to pray over you. I want that to be in your life. I want it to be empowering you. But the Holy Spirit didn't come just so that you could mutter words from your mouth. The Holy Spirit has come that He would cause you to be an overcomer through Christ who gives you strength. Amen. He has come that you would have life and that more abundantly. He has set before you life and death. Choose life. And the only way that you can choose life is through the Spirit's working in your life. Amen? Now, I want to talk about the junk that the fire burns up. How many of you guys ever built just this huge bonfire? And some of you knuckleheads started throwing stuff in there you probably shouldn't have. All you guys are laughing the loudest. Y'all did it. All of you. Yeah, we've all done it. You know, my mom said, If you play in the fire, you're going to pee in the bed. Did your mom and dad ever tell you that? No. Southern thing. Hold on, let me write that down. That is a Southern thing. I've got a notebook. But what happens when you get a bonfire is sometimes we're tempted to throw bottles in there, or we're tempted to throw this in there, everything but wood. You know, we want to see what color the flame gets, right? You get blue flames and red flames and yellow flames and orange flames and all those different things. But the fire does this. It burns out all impurities. There's a lady by the name of Catherine Booth. How many of you guys ever heard of her? Wife of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. She traveled around the world, and she was quoted as saying, she said this, "I've traveled all across this country, and I've heard a lot of eloquent words and many sermon masterpieces. But what my soul longed for is burning words." In other words, what she's saying is Catherine wanted anointed messages that penetrates, that stirs, that produces brokenness of heart. When's the last time that you have truly laid before the Lord broken? Where you've said, "I'm completely and utterly undone before your presence, Lord." I remember one time, and I've never spoken about this publicly, but one of the most holy moments that I've ever experienced with the Lord was in my apartment when Dana and I first got married, and she was working, and I was just going through my Bible study and praying, and I felt the presence of the Lord come in my apartment so strongly that I had no other place but on my face, and I felt desperate to be removed from His presence. And the reason why was because He wasn't there to terrify me. He wasn't there to scare me. He wasn't there to overwhelm me and to disable me. My mortal body was reacting to a holy and just and righteous God. And in those moments, I felt afraid. I felt totally and completely undone, that everything that Jimmy McDonald is was laid bare before the Lord. And it happened not because I'm holier than you. It happened because I choose to expose my life to the working and power of the Holy Spirit every day of my life. And I remember feeling so desperate that as I was weeping and wailing before the Lord. Some of you, this is foreign, but to others, you understand what I'm saying. But as the presence and the holiness of God came down in my living room, and I was crying and was a sucking carpet, I remember that the Holy Spirit, the Lord came down, and he had a priestly robe, a kingly robe, and He laid it over my back. I just saw that picture. And He laid it over my back, and He knelt down, and He said, "This is something that you did not earn. This is something that you will never, ever earn. But I freely give it to you because you have yielded yourself to me." And because of it, He threw that robe over me. And I'll never forget that in my entire life. And see, I'm not asking you to be some rock star in the spiritual world. I'm asking you to be obedient. I'm asking you to open yourself and expose yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit. And if you've never done that before, do it today. Do it today. Say, "Lord, I open myself to whatever You want. Break me before Your presence so that You can build me back up." Amen? In Malachi 3:3, the prophet Malachi wrote this. He said, "God will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." When the Holy Spirit searches our heart, He is a purifying fire. Just like good fire burns out impurities, unworthy things are burned out of our lives when we allow the Spirit to do its work. Now, whenever that happens and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in our lives and things are being renewed and transformed, guess what's going to happen? Other people are going to catch that fire in your life. Other people are going to begin to taste and see that the Lord is good in your life. I remember working for Delta Airlines, and I think I shared this story before, but back in Dallas, Texas in 96 or so, when I was in college, I was working, and I was in the bin of an airplane, and I was one of those guys that brought the luggage in, and you're seeing them flagging out the planes and all those things. That was me. I did all that. And there was a guy inside there that was, he told all the dirty jokes. He brought all the dirty magazines. He was the perverted one in the bunch and all this different stuff. And while they were over there doing their thing, I was doing my thing. And one day he was sitting across from me in the belly of the airplane waiting on luggage. We were sitting there, wasn't saying anything. And he looked at me and he said, "What's different about you?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I knew what he meant. And he said, "You don't think any of my stuff's funny, or you don't laugh at my jokes, or you don't look at the magazines or any of that stuff." And he said, "What's the deal with that?" And I said, "I don't think it's funny at all." And he said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because it's perverted." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Christian." He goes, "I knew it. I knew you were a Christian. I knew it." And I said, "I'm not a Bible thumper." I said, "Have you heard me read one scripture?" "No." "Have you heard me tell you that if you don't turn, you're going to burn?" "No." And I said, "The reason why that you see something different in me, it's not because of me. It's not because of the steps that I took in church. It's not because of my own striving. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Jesus has completely changed me. And you are bearing witness to the fact that Jesus changed me." And he was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He goes, I don't know. I'm not bearing witness to nothing." And I said, "Yes, you are." I said, "You're bearing witness that God has changed my life because you've noticed something different. God has sifted through the perversion of your life and you've seen God through me." And I said, "You can't deny that." And he said, "No, I can't deny that." And you see, that's what happens with a person that has yielded their lives to the working of the Holy Spirit. People will begin to catch the fire. They'll begin to catch what's going on. You ever heard of the herd mentality? When one or two, three or four starts doing it, then everybody starts doing it. They don't understand why they're doing it, but they're doing it. They don't understand why they're going left, but they're going left because everybody else is going left. Well, when somebody has caught the fire of God, those embers, how many of you guys have seen embers shoot out of the flames this way and that way? And then they begin to affect the area of which they've landed, right? So an ember lands over here and they affect the grass and begins to burn up the grass. And over here it affects this area. And then it affects this area. And before you know it, from one flame has shot embers that are affecting their surroundings. And that's what you are as a believer. You are an ember that has a light inside of you that is not your own. It's not a glow that you can contain. It's not a glow that you can work up. It's not a glow that you can stoke. It is a glow that comes from the power and the working of the Holy Spirit that testifies to the work and saving grace of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? And you and I need to understand that through our obedience, through our yieldedness, that stokes the fire in our life, and it begins to affect everyone that we come and see. Now, I'm not talking about infect. I'm talking about effect. Because infection brings disease. It brings corruption, brings impurity. But when you affect somebody with your life, through your yielded life to the Son of God, then you begin to breathe life everywhere you go. You don't understand it. You don't know that you're doing it. But you are. We had an incident at the church, and I won't go into all the details. But it was very intense with one child. And the mother had to be called, and we were all kind of panicky because it was a very serious situation. And the mother came, and she said, one of the first things she said was, "I want to thank you." And I was like, "Thank you, what do you mean?" And she said, "I never thought that my son would make it through the entire week, but he did." And he said, "This is so much progress in his life, so much progress. And I want you to know that you really have made a difference in my child's life, and I want to thank you for it." And you see, Sometimes when you wear orange shirts and you take off work every once in a while and you come and you dance around with a bunch of kids and you act goofy and you feel goofy and you go home tired and you feel like you can't get up, and then you get up and do it all over again, and maybe you didn't wash that orange shirt but you put it back on anyway. Guilty. Guilty. I washed it once. But you put that orange shirt on and you get back up and you drink your coffee or your Mountain Dew before you hit the door, and in walks all the kids and you do it all over again five times, and then you do it twice on Friday, and you go out there and you shoot off rockets and you make sure that they're having a good time in here and eating ice cream, and all of a sudden you start having parents come up to you and say, "My kid cannot stop talking about this adventure week. It has really touched their lives." I can't tell you how many countless people I have talked to that has said that. And you know, when you expose yourself to the Holy Spirit, it does this. It puts blinders on of your own troubles and your own circumstances. But I'm going to tell you that I've talked to a lot of people that have said, "Pastor, I'm going to come to church when I can get things figured out in my own life. Then I'll come to church." That is the biggest load of bull I have ever heard in my entire life. And you can write that down back there. Put me on record as saying that is the biggest load of bull that I have ever heard in my entire life. This building was built for sinners. We know that the studs are double jointed. Amen. If the roof can withstand a Green Bay winter, then it can withstand our sin. Amen. It's whenever we come into the place and we realize that there's something bigger going on in our lives. That even though that we have stuff going on, even though that we have hurts in our life, we push back those hurts and we minister the gospel by our attitude. We minister the gospel by how we worship. We minister the gospel by how we hug people, Calvin. We minister to the gospel in a smile and a handshake. "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you here today." We minister the gospel in our attitude and when we go to work. We don't, one of the things that I say all the time is that I love to witness, but when I need to, I use words. Because your actions speak far louder than your words. Amen? Your actions testify to the inner working of the Holy Spirit in your life. So when you catch fire, everybody else will catch fire around you. Amen? Or they will be burned around you. Somebody will always try to quench your spirit. Somebody will always try to quench your fire by, "What do you think, you're holier than thou? I knew you when." That's right, you knew me then, but that's not the same. I'm not the same. That person is dead and gone. And who stands before you is someone that Jesus made. Amen? And then the fire does this. It creates a light in the darkness. I thank God for the Holy Spirit's fire also produces light. Sometimes we desperately need in a world full of difficult decisions, we need His direction. We need His light to illuminate us. I remember one of the things that I remember about Adventure Week was this. Christian, we have this game, and we'll be playing some of these games, these team building games, in a couple weeks during our church picnic. But one of the first games that we played, I spray painted an 8x10 square. And in that 8x10 square, I placed these wood logs in there, just about that long. And I randomly placed them everywhere. And there were two teams, three on each team. And one of them was blindfolded, and they were standing right on the edge. And their teammate had to tell them where to walk, when to walk, and how far to walk. And they had to make it through without touching those blocks over to the other side. And when it came Christian's turn, one of the things that I heard him say, because everybody's screaming, "Turn left, turn right, stop, 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 stop." And they were screaming and hollering, and those kids were like, "What? Where?" And Christian, one of the things that he said was, when he was putting his blindfold on, and I forget, I don't know if it was to Chevy or Christian or who it was, the other Christian, but Christian said, "Hey, say something to me so I can recognize your voice." because he had the blindfold on. And he said, talk to me so I can recognize your voice so that when I'm going through the maze, I can tune in on your voice and not the other team's voice. And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I thought, that is so what we need in the church today, in our lives. That we say, and life, when this is a faith walk, amen, that we're doing. This is not a leap of faith. It is a walk of faith. You go leaping through this thing and you're going to hit something. But if you walk and your steps are ordered of the Lord, that even though that we can't see what's around the corner, we can't see the cause and the effect of the decision that we're going to make, but if we say, Holy Spirit, if you will speak to me so that I can recognize your voice, so that when every other voice in this world is trying to tell me which way to go, I can recognize that you are telling me what to do. Because I'm going to tell you, there's so many people, so many outlets that are vying for our attention, vying for our undivided focus upon them. And it's important that as you, as a believer, understand and recognize the Spirit's leading in your life. Because if you don't, you will be leaping and leaping and hitting yourself up against something every single time, because you're listening to all these other, you're listening to the other team's direction and not the person that is supposed to be leading you, which is the Holy Spirit. So trust His direction. When you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, trust and obey. Trust Him. He will do extraordinary things through your life if you're led by His Spirit. Amen? We can do good things. We're talented and experts at doing good things. But it's the extraordinary things. It's the things that we can't naturally do with our own hands that I'm after. Amen? Because that's a life worth living. That's a life worth getting up every single day and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm excited about what you're going to do with me today. I don't feel good. There's stuff going in my life. But Holy Spirit, I want to hear your voice, and I want that voice to lead me today. So I choose to reject this stuff that's going on. I recognize what's going on, but I am going to focus upon you. Amen? And lastly, when you have a good fire and you want to keep it going, what do you got to do? You got to stoke the fire. You got to stoke the fire. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. He said this. He said, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." He warned the church. He said, "Don't put out the Spirit of God. Fan into flames. Fan into flames the giftings and callings of God on your life. Because you have a responsibility to be obedient. Amen? This stuff doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just magically happen. God doesn't have dust that He can throw over you and that automatically your body is susceptible to whatever He wants to do. No. The Bible says that we have to die to ourselves daily. And the only way that we can die to ourselves is to say, Lord, I reject everything, but I submit to you. My thinking wants me to go this direction. Here's my desire, Lord, but what's yours? And listen to me. Sometimes God's desires is not your desire. And you've got to be willing to say, okay, Lord, everything in every fiber of my being is saying this way, but because you said take a right, even though I don't know what it's going to look like, I don't know what's going to happen, I'm turning to the right. And I'm going because I want to be obedient to you. Because the Bible says His ways are higher than our ways. Amen? So, lastly, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit changing our lives and local assemblies in our local churches. We need it spreading throughout our towns and cities, spreading so Christ can be glorified. May that be our prayer today. Send the fire, God. Burn, penetrate, change, renovate, illuminate the way. Do as you promised as we wait in Christ's name. Amen? Amen. And I want to encourage you today. Allow him to penetrate your life. Don't just come out of church and say, wow, that was good. But come out of church saying, I have exposed myself to the working of the Holy Spirit. And I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good. And I want the embers of my life to affect everywhere that I go. Even if I don't say a word about Christ, let them see the love, let them see the joy, let them see my good attitude, let them taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's all bow our heads. Today, I want to challenge you to expose your life to the working of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you that when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, but be obedient to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if the Lord has pinpointed something in your life, if the Lord has caused you to think about a certain thing in your life that you know that needs to be gotten rid of, or if you haven't exposed yourself to the inner working of the Holy Spirit in a long time, I want you to do this. I want you to come forward and I want to pray for you. Now, I know for some of you that may be a scary, traumatic thing, but I want to tell you this. Everything we do in life is scary. When we moved up here, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know what the people were going to be like. I didn't know where we were going to live. I just knew that the Lord told me to go north. And here I am, obedient to the Lord. That doesn't make me perfect. That doesn't make me more righteous than you. But it has given me the opportunity to speak into your lives on a regular basis. And today, if the Lord is speaking into your life, I want you to come. I want to pray over you. I want to encourage you. And I want to pray the prayer of faith over your life so that you can be an overcomer through Christ who gives you strength. Amen? So I encourage you, come. Step out of that seat in faith and come to the Lord today. I want to pray over you. If that's you, just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have some ladies come up and help and pray. Hallelujah. Anybody else come? I know there's more. Gotta be. I'm not naive. Everybody needs the power of the Holy Spirit as believers working in our lives. Teaching us, guiding us, showing us how to be more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. I wondered why Paul was able to minister after he had been beaten, after he'd been lowered down on the backside of the wall of the city in a basket, had been shipwrecked, snake bit, stoned, left for dead. And I realized something. Paul said this. He said, I labor in all of his strength. Paul said he labors in all of Christ's strength, not his own strength, but in Christ. And today, if you're tired of laboring in your own strength, if life has beat you down, trust me, the power of the Holy Spirit is here to establish you and enable you to be more than a conqueror. Amen? And so as I pray, I just want you to stretch your hands toward this way, and we're going to begin to pray, all right?